Okay, instead of the daily readings today, I thought I'd take a few moments to talk about something that was on my mind, citing linguistic differences in scripture. And see, I was watching a movie the other day, and there were some subtitles on, and those subtitles were in Spanish, and I noticed that what was being said in English wasn't conveyed exactly. Like, it didn't give the same kind of thought that was given in English. And I've also noticed the same thing in Spanish language movies that are showing English subtitles. Sometimes it even says two different things as to what is really meant by the speaker. So having thought about all this, I decided to look into scripture and linguistic differences as I've been studying the history of the Catholic Church and how the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew, which what I really should say is the canon of the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek, which is called the Septuagint. And then Saint Jerome took the Septuagint from Greek and translated into the Latin Vulgate so that regular people could read the canon. And so having thought about this with the subtitles and movies, I started to wonder, is it possible to see this in scripture? And if so, what is the extent of that? So I thought I would take a look at today's scripture reading, which is August 23rd, 2010. And I would look at particularly 2 Thessalonians, because the first reading for today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 12. So I picked up a Spanish Bible, and the Spanish Bible said in the beginning of it, the front of it, that it had been translated directly from the Latin Vulgate of St. Jerome. So I opened up both verses, the same verse in both an English, the New American Bible, and the Spanish version. And as I was reading, everything seemed to coincide until I got to verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians. And in English it says, because your faith flourishes evermore, whereas in Spanish it says, puesta que vuestra fe va aumentándose más y más. My explanation between these two differences, and you won't have to understand Spanish to understand my explanation, because I'm going to put it into English here. It says in the Spanish verse, we see the term aumentándose, which means to increase, but in English we see flourishes evermore. It's possible, I think, that the English words may make the concept of a rising of faith less visible than the Spanish does, even though the words evermore follow the English flourishes. I believe that the words evermore could be understood as forevermore by an English reader, and that the author intends to say that we should give thanks for each other and our growing faith, but the English choice of words can make this concept harder to understand. Perhaps a better translation into English would be because your faith continues to grow, or because your faith continues growing, versus what it currently says, flourishes even more. Now, one might argue that, well, you can't change the words of the Bible, but in actuality, anytime you're doing a translation, we have to keep in mind that the original was in Hebrew. And even though this is the New Testament, and it was probably from Greek, actually, since it's the New Testament, I don't actually recall at the moment what language Thessalonians was in, but I believe it was probably Greek. So it would have been Greek into the Latin Vulgate and then into Spanish. So with consideration of changing the words, what is really meant is so long as the meaning is not changed. Words can be used differently to better convey the original meaning. And so I view the Spanish translation most probably is the more correct, more closely defined meaning of what was probably originally meant in the Latin Vulgate. Furthermore, I read on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, which is the second part of that first reading, where it says, "And powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith," underlining the words "effort of faith," because that is where I found a difference in the Spanish. In Spanish it says, "Y haga con su poder fecunda vuestra fe en buenas obras." The translation for this would literally be, from Spanish, "and make with his power fertile your faith in good works." That didn't really make as much sense to me in English. I mean, it does in Spanish, I know what they mean. But in the English, it doesn't quite hit as home as it does in the Spanish. So here's a translation of the translation from Spanish. "And by his power fertilize your faith through good works." So in short note, my interpretation would be, doing good deeds strengthens our faith because of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Good works help to sanctify us. And so that's what I gather from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. But in English, it's hard to get that, because it says, "and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith." Totally bypassing the word "good works," which is really what "buenas obras" means. And so, this is a prime example of how, as a translator, one must be very careful in choosing the words that are being used. And again, I also find that the Spanish translation hits home to the original meaning, what I perceive as being the original meaning. I guess this is all speculation, but as to what the Latin Vulgate was more closely meaning than what the English translation reflects. I also find that the English translation throughout the New American Bible is a little bit more distant and a little bit more little colder. I don't mean cold as in not being warm in the meaning of the scripture, but I mean the language is a little bit more plain. Whereas in the Spanish version, it's a lot more personal, and in some ways more profound in the connotations put therein. And so, really makes one wonder about the various translations that we read, how much we are actually missing when we're reading scripture because of the translation or the translator that translated it. And it makes me wonder how much we're actually missing by not understanding Hebrew, by not being able to read Aramaic or Greek as were the original scriptures written in those were written in those languages. And so makes me think about that computer program Rosetta Stone. And so maybe possibly the only way to really get the full essence of what the inspired Word of God is, the best way to do that, it would be to actually read the original Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew. Of course, we all don't have the time, probably left in our lives, to really learn all of those languages and understand fully what they fully mean. So I guess this is where faith comes in. I still hold that the overall meaning of the Word of God is truth. And so I think it's very interesting to just do a little analysis linguistically between languages to see the differences in their overall meaning. And I guess that's it. So thank you for listening, and I welcome any comments you may have or any dialogue you may want to bring into this discussion.